Christ is in our midst. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to commend a special lecture that our His Grace, Bishop Anthony, gave in August. And it was actually Sharon, my wife, who put me onto this to look onto YouTube and to see this. This is an absolutely fantastic lecture series on the liturgy. And he was doing this for the Sacred Music Institute back in August. And his particular section was on the cherubic hymn, but he was dealing with the liturgy in general in the beginning. And there were just some things that the lights just went on. He was talking, first of all, like he said, the whole of Scripture that has been given to us is liturgy. It's all liturgy, because liturgy is in the sense of sacrifice and offering and giving. And our whole life is liturgy. There are the high points of liturgy when the grace of God comes down off the mountain and fills us to be able to give that sacrifice in totality that is called for. But everything is liturgy. This is a fantastic lecture, and it's about 55 minutes. And if you just Google on YouTube, if you can get on there, Cherubic Hymn, Bishop Anthony Michaels, you'll just be blessed by this. And the reason I bring this up is because I believe it ties in so strongly with the gospel today. For the gospel is really about utter and total sacrifice. Did you hear those words again? When our Lord said, I say to you, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Give all to them who ask and expect nothing in return. As we're going to look at these words of this gospel today, those are very difficult words in and of themselves. And too often I think people take those words out of context without looking at the whole context of the chapter before us. And we say, how can I do that? How can I love that person who just did to me what they did? How can I give everything I have for somebody and expect nothing in return? You see, we don't think from a sacrificial viewpoint. We don't think from a viewpoint of offering. We don't think from the viewpoint of the Savior, who himself is the sacrifice, the liturgy, the offering, and who makes us an offering. No, it is very hard for us, filled with the passions that we have, tying ourselves to this earth and to things of this life, to sacrifice. To offer, to be liturgy. But that's what our Lord is calling us to do today. When we look at this particular gospel we just heard, it has to be in the context of the 12 verses before. That's oftentimes the danger when we look at Scripture. We just take these little pieces and we forget what's around us. So I want to read to you and look at the Scriptures today in their totality and show you in this gospel an icon of sacrifice, of liturgy, of offering from our Savior to us and we to Him. And it really starts at the 12th verse today of the Gospel. Before He speaks these words, Jesus says something very important up on a mountain. Listen to this. Verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days, He, Jesus, went out to the mountain to pray, and He continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, He called His disciples to Himself, and He chose them, whom He named apostles. Simon, whom He named Peter, and Andrew, His brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who would become a traitor. First of all, He spent the night in prayer with His disciples, and He offered Himself in totality because of what He was about to do in choosing these disciples on that mountain, that new Israel, that new 12, who would fulfill what was begun already in the liturgy of the Old Testament. And He had to do it, and He did it on the mountaintop. The mountaintop is so very important in the liturgy of our Lord. The mountaintop is always the place where the glory of God is revealed. In the Old Testament, on the mountaintop, on Sinai, was revealed the utter word of God in the commandments to the 12 tribes. On the mountaintop, sacrifices were offered in the Old Testament to God. On the mountaintop, God spoke and God empowered, and He does the same in here to emphasize His continuing covenant of sacrifice and offering for His people. He offers grace to be his church. He offers it to his 12. But go on in the chapter. For it says in verse 17, they did not stay on the mountain. Never do we stay on the mountain. The mountain is meant for something else. The grace given up there is meant for to come forth down. It says he came down with them. And he stood on a level place, on the plains, on the deserts, with the crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear him and to be healed of their disease, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed him. Mountaintop grace is meant to come down for the people of God who were afflicted. The old hymn says, from his throne on high he came to set the captives free. The desert place, the plain, that is the place where the devil is the prince of this world. And we are afflicted, and we know that affliction daily. We are on the plain. We are with those people afflicted every day, tormented by the demons, tormented by our passions, tormented by the sins that come again and again against us. We are those people who come fleeing to the only place we can flee, that one who has come down from the mountaintop and brought with him his 12 apostles, the men of the church, the priesthood. He comes down to stand in their midst, and again he offers. And he calls his church to look on that offering. His 12, he calls them and gives them an example of what this sacrifice will be about, to heal, to give their all in their life for those people who are around them needing that touch of forgiveness and healing. That's what the church is called to. That total sacrifice of love and offering, a liturgy. And then he goes on in the text and he speaks very familiar words we know, the Beatitudes. Right in conjunction with this, he lays out for them even more clearly how much this is a sacrifice, and it is not about them in any way, shape, or form. If it is about them, it will be brought with woe and curse and failure. But if it is about him and the sacrifice for him and his gospel for the people, then it will be blessing. Those words, blessed are you the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you, and they revile you, and they cast you out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in a like manner their fathers did to the prophets. Your sacrifice rewarded. But woe to you who are rich now. Woe to you because you have received your consolation already. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. What is that? When we seek not to give an offering of ourselves as our Lord has given, but when we seek to hold on to everything that we have in this world, when we seek to hold on to the material things of this life, when we seek to hold on to the vengeance and the hatred and the pride and the passions that destroy us, then there's woe. But when we give and we offer, we come to Christ, he who heals and calls us, there's blessing. Now, in light of those words, then comes the gospel section we have this week. And it is upon those words we must base this gospel we have today. So listen again to it in light of what we've just spoken of. But now I say to you, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, do likewise to them. And on he goes, and then he ends that section with, be merciful, as your Father in heaven is merciful. Of whom do these words first speak, first and foremost? Of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ in the flesh. These they speak of first and foremost. He who has come down for us men, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, incarnate of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered, crucified, died for us. That's what these words speak of first and foremost to the church. Blessing those who cursed him, mocked him, spit upon him. Those who fought against him at every turn in his ministry. For them he did not return it with a curse, but always with a blessing. Always with an offering of sacrifice and love and forgiveness. Giving, offering, sacrificing on that cross, even the last shred of his clothing, even the last shred of his body and his blood. So much he offered in that liturgy on the cross that day for each of us who have turned away from him, who at times in our sins and passions have reviled him, who have cursed him at times in our unbelief. But we come back and see what he has given for us. As Hebrews 5:7 proclaims, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. This love offering that he speaks of this day, this total sacrifice, it is about him. First and foremost. And now about us, because we are the offering he has brought to the Father to make spotless in our baptism, to fill us with the Holy Spirit and call us to be this. Do you think we can do this of our own? There is no way. Again, looking at these words, they are way too hard. We are just, as St. Paul said in the epistle this morning, we are jars of clay. We don't have anything to hold that grace in except by the work of the Holy Spirit. He calls us to be an offering nonetheless. And he offers us those opportunities. And he shows us examples. For as Jesus is for us this offering, he shows us the lives of the saints and what they have done in offering themselves to give us example and hope and strength to call upon them and their prayers to help us. I think of one, it's not one of our saints, but I take great inspiration in him. He's a Roman saint by the name of Maximilian Kolbe. He was given sainthood in the Roman church, but what he did, it's a great example. Some of our own saints have done the very same, but this has always stood out for me for many years. Maximilian Kolbe was a Polish priest. And while this was under the occupation of the Nazis, short of it is, he was taken and he was imprisoned in the 40s. And while in prison, of course, this was in Auschwitz. We know what happened in Auschwitz, killing of the Jews. And it is said one day there was something that had gone on in the barracks and someone had escaped. And so the Nazis, in their cruelty, they beat the prisoners out the doors and they made them all line up and they said, who has done it? Who has left? No one could know. And he said, well, someone's going to die in that person's place. And they chose a man. But Father Kolbe, moved by the Holy Spirit, stood up and said, I'll take that man's place. And he went to the worst death possible. He was put in the starvation and chamber where he was to thirst and nothing was given to him. It was an agonizing death. He was the last one of the 14 that were put on that death row from those barracks to die. He was the last one because God chose him and blessed his sacrifice. He was the one who heard the confessions of some of those prisoners while they were on death row. He was the one praying for the very last of those people who would die in that death chamber before the Lord took him. And so it is our Lord has done for us and our Lord calls us for. And we have such ample opportunity to sacrifice and offer in this place. We have people who hurt in our midst. We know it. We know who they are and we know the support that we can give. This is a loving community. This is a place where we look out for each other because we know what the Lord has called us to do in totality and sacrifice. So may His sacrifice empower us and inspire us and that of the saints to give of our lives to Christ in totality, in total liturgy to Him. Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.